Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Intelligence Squared podcast. I'm producer Catherine Hughes. In today's episode, we're bringing you part two of a live recording from our Intelligent Times event series, which took place in collaboration with the New York Times. In this conversation, recorded in 2019, award-winning actor Willem Dafoe speaks to the New York Times European culture editor Matthew Anderson. Together, they discuss Dafoe's long and varied career, his approach to acting, and his understanding of the changing film industry.
Martin Scorsese himself has been in a bit of controversy lately over his pronouncements about superhero movies, and you've done some of these kind of movies themselves, Aquaman, Spider-Man, and whatever, but he got himself into...
The Man movies.
Yeah. He got himself into a bit of trouble speaking with Empire magazine here in London, and he said basically that he doesn't watch superhero movies. He thinks of them as more like theme parks than cinema, really. He could have written it off as just something careless that he said in a junket when the whole social media thing erupted, but he didn't. He doubled down on it. He wrote an editorial in the New York Times where he returned to those themes and expressed them in even stronger language than he had before. It said they're sequels in names, but they're remakes in spirit, and everything in them is sanctioned only because it can't be any other way. He said everything was vetted, modified, re-vetted, and remodified until they're ready for consumption. So it's not really a... It sounds like you have worked with a lot of great artists and enjoy that kind of artistry. Do you agree with his comments about those superhero pictures?
Agree. I know what he's talking about, but I would not say that, because that's not my experience. Because also, I've worked in those movies, and I've found pleasure in them. I know their limitations, but you don't judge one kind of movie by the standards of another. It's always different. And I think he's in a different position. He's a director. I'm an actor. I think it really helps to keep me away from a certain kind of preciousness and a certain kind of rigidness if I mix it up. Not as a thing to be versatile, although that's nice, but that's not the aim. It's really more to change your game enough that you don't harden into habits as far as your work or, you know, rigid ways about a movie can be made this way or can only be made that way. I think there's lots of rooms for all kinds of movies. So I don't disagree. I don't agree. I know what he's talking about. But, yeah, I won't say that.
For those big popcorn blockbusters, though, it must be nice when loads and loads of people go see your movie.
That's good, and that helps you, believe it or not, when you need financing for smaller movies, yeah, riskier movies, because some people will go, even though it's not the same kind of movie, they have some sort of connection to that movie, so it opens things up. And also, just as an actor, for example, on Aquaman, that I did recently, I still like doing physical things. I still like doing stunts and things like that. And even though you don't see a lot of it in the movie, and I can talk to that frustration that they, you know, you shoot a lot and then it gets culled down to very little. But for example, that, I get to fly around on wires, you know, for weeks at a time. And not just like a boyish fun thing, it was challenging. It was like there was an athleticism to it, and really kind of, it was fun, you know? I mean, we're talking about sometimes being as high as that ceiling and being dropped down on cables, you know, you're in a harness and all that, but just skimming the floor and then going up and then doing barrel rolls, you know, that's fun. And then when you start to film it and you're laying scenes and you're laying character, you know, there's something there. There's something there.
How did you get into doing your own stunts? Because lots of actors just say, no, get someone else in to do it.
I think it breaks, you know, it's, you know, the joke is, why would you want someone to make love to your wife? I mean, that's the fun part. sorry. Whoops. No, it's that's my job. And if I step out and someone else does that character for a little while, then I got to reclaim it. I got to get back into it. I got to, that, you know, it should be one, I'm there for an experience that's, you know, filtered through all kinds of things, but that is transparent enough that people can have that experience with me. And if it gets too fragmented, then it's hard to feel that.
We're going to come to questions from the audience in a moment. So if you do have any questions, do think about how you might phrase those quite succinctly. But just one last thing I wanted to touch on with you, William, was another issue that came up in Scorsese's op-ed. And that was sort of weirdly because he was promoting The Irishman, which is a kind of straight to Netflix picture in most territories. He wrote actually some very beautiful paragraphs about the power of cinema on the big screen versus watching it, you know, on the laptop in bed or whatever. And I wonder what your view on that is as an actor. Do you want people to watch your pictures on the phone?
Of course not. But let's go beyond that, not even worry about what I want people to do. I can talk about me. I know the power of that thing that he's talking about, of going into a room with a bunch of strangers and having to sit there, having to go there, having to pay attention and receive something and receive it with a bunch of strangers in a room. That is very powerful and can change how you think. If you control the experience too much, if you have the ability to turn it off, if you have the ability to take a phone call, if you don't like the first 5 minutes and say, man, let's try something else, you know, you don't get your feet held to the fire. And I think sometimes in the most, you know, the most rewarding movies, it's not easy. Sometimes really movies are difficult, you know, but if you stick with them, you know, it's like anything. Sometimes the stuff that feels good right away doesn't sustain you, and the stuff that's hard in the end will sustain you. And in movies are like that. So from an audience point of view, if you have too much control, you have to submit somehow. And to be in a room of other people submitting to a bunch of light on the screen, you know, to basically have a collective dream, I think is cool. When it becomes my movie, my iPhone, my coffee, my. I think that's when you miss the connection of the storytelling, the sharing of experience, and the possibility to change how you think and break your habits, break the lockstep. It's what Pasolini talked about all the time, you know? He was so prescient. He saw what was going to happen even before these new technologies were present. He saw it coming. It turns people into robots. I mean, come on. People used to look at each other on the streets. Now they almost bump into each other because they're reading the phone. We all know that. I don't like to sound like a new crank. I've got an iPhone too. I look at it far too much. Yeah. But that's a long-winded answer to your question.
Are you hopeful? I mean, because it's going more and more that way. A lot of more of the money is coming from Netflix, from the streaming service. Yeah. Are you hopeful for the future of the big screen?
Well, I think we already see some, you know, people's desire for an authentic experience, something they can taste. It's getting so far away from us. It's getting so mediated and so controlled. And there's a false freedom because you feel like you can go anywhere, but you go nowhere. There's no choices and you only go to where you want to go. And I don't think that's good. Sometimes, you know, it's not good. Also, that's a great breeding ground for prejudice and hate, because then you can really get into a them and us. But if you're forced, that's one of the reasons why I like New York City, you know? yeah, it's a rich city. Yeah, real estate's a drag. Yeah, it's a business city. But people have to deal with each other. And I find that a place like New York is much more humane than a place like L.A., where everybody lives in their cars in their homes.
Now, you're going to have to deal with some people because we're going to go to the audience. Have we got the first question, please?
Hi, Willem. I had a question about your role in... Oh, sorry. I had a question about your role in Mr. Bean's Holiday, the character.
In which?
On a serious,
Mr. Bean's Holiday.
Oh. On a serious question.
I weren't expecting that one.
How much of that kind of director, the serious director, is there in you? Are you interested in making your own movies and that kind of thing? Or are you just happy to be an actor?
Mr. Bean's Holiday was fun. And one of the reasons why I did it was Rowan Atkinson. I loved him in Blackadder. And the idea that I would be working with that guy from Blackadder was like... I feel like I'm a filmmaker. I collaborate with people. It depends on who the director is. And as I get older and I work with younger filmmakers, they invite me in a little bit more. And I like that. But on the other hand, I never really want to be a director because maybe you can tell this just by this talk, but there's something where I like being a little irresponsible. I feel free. I'm very responsible in what I do and also when I'm working on a movie for the whole movie. But I don't like being responsible for what stuff means or where we're going. Because somewhere, as an actor, one of the pleasures is being an adventurer, going someplace, reaching for something that you don't know. Not interpreting, not embodying something that you already know, but trying to learn something, giving yourself something to learn, learning it, and then trying to see a new way. And maybe you can do that as a director, but the director has to be responsible for this huge group of people to say, we're heading this way. And as an actor, I don't have that same responsibility.
The events calendar is filling up here at Intelligence Squared, and to create each one, we obviously rely on some brilliant guests and onstage talent. But behind the scenes, there's also a producer, a production team, and the budget in the mix too. You've got to keep an eye on all of that stuff in one place. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. And you can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because it's super easy to get started. NetSuite exists in the cloud, you see, no hardware needed. So you're cutting IT costs too. That's why over 37,000 companies have already made the move. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/squared. That's netsuite.com/squared. netsuite.com/squared.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
This gentleman here.
Hi. So I'm at drama school and about to go into the industry. And I was wondering if you have any advice for young actors today and maybe what you'd do if you were going into the industry now.
I won't answer the second one because that idea is too frightening. I probably wouldn't be doing this if I don't know. I don't know. Just practice and find out what you love and go towards it. even, you know, I'm a great, I believe in apprenticeship. So if there's a company that you love or a filmmaker that you love, just get as close as you can to them. And something will rub off and you'll either, you know, get into the fabric of that group making something, or you'll learn something that'll take you someplace else. So don't wait. You know, do this to do this. Don't do this to do that. Don't make, you know, don't make long-term plans. You know, feed the beast, the thing that you like to do. Feed it. Feed it, and don't wait. Don't, you know, make deals with yourself.
I can take a question from up here this time. Yes.
Yeah, you.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I didn't realize. We'll take this one at the microphone. And if you want to come to the microphone, you can do the next one.
Thank you both very much for this talk. I was just wondering, how much did you draw from yourself and your own experiences to develop characters? And have you ever gone so deep into a character that you had a hard time leaving behind? And if so, which character?
It depends. Always it depends on the situation. I think normally that, you know, because you're willing yourself to consider a different set of habits, a different way of thinking, you're trying to leave yourself behind and become something else. Once the camera is not there and once the situation is not there, those characters go back into you. Now, you can have a hangover if you're, you know, playing a murderer 12 hours a day, even though you're pretending. It's going to enter your dreams. It is going to affect you. But, yeah, I think when people have problems hanging on to stuff, it's because they're hanging on. And, of course, when you're done with something, it's important to let it go. To make room for something else, because that's a different kind of lockstep that I think really kills you, you know, makes you unhappy if you feel trapped, like trapped in a character or trapped in a set of ways of being.
Sorry, I feel bad because that guy could speak and then he couldn't, so please, go ahead.
Hi, William.
Hi, how are you?
My name is Arthur.
Okay.
You're in incredible, great shape. Got real youth and spirit about you.
Thank you.
I was hoping you could share with us one or two secrets of good health.
Secrets of good?
Good health.
Health. I don't know.
Must be all that clean living.
Don't be a jerk. Try not to be a jerk. Develop a practice. A daily practice, whether it's a physical practice. I personally do a yoga practice for 35 years, and that probably saves me. But have a practice, whatever it is, that you can be your time and sets the tone for the day, preferably in the morning. And be a vegetarian.
Let's have a question from a woman this time. We've had lots of men. You're very keen.
Yes, I'm a woman. I'm a director, and I'm very interested to ask you. You've done a lot of films about artists and creative people, and what is it that draws you to the character of an artist?
They have unusual lives. And what they do, there's no rule book. I mean, that's kind of the whole point. Finding ways to express their inner thoughts through their particular discipline. And I think that interests me in all people. And I think, but an artist, it becomes more transparent because that
that is on the table. That's what they're about. But I think that interests me in all people, you know, how people make strategies on how to live and how they create belief systems and what they cling to and what they don't need and what they get from other people and what is really original thinking. And I think with artists, because often they're searching for that original thought, that original gesture, that original articulation of something that's particular to them, I'm attracted to that because I want to learn how to do that someday.
I know you also. So do you hang out with artists? Because I know you're quite good friends with Jeff Koons, and I always like the idea of you hanging out.
You know, downtown, when I was growing up, I probably spent a lot of time in painting studios and dance studios, probably more than theater, and probably knew more performance artists than I knew actors, more musicians than I knew actors. So that's just kind of where I lived. And then once you start working just socially, tend to connect the dots.
Let's have one over here. How was the movie industry changed by the beginning of the Me Too movement?
Ah. Trying to figure that one out. It's changed a lot because, for example, I did a movie recently, and before you could work, it's required that you take a course online about proper
conduct.
Conduct. That didn't happen before. So people are making efforts to be conscious of abuses and being conscientious also about, just in general, there's a new sense of, you know, breaking up the old boy network and making not only the making films, but also what films are about, more representative of a larger group of people. That's all connected, because I think that's connected to somewhat to these people that went public with abuses in the past, and there's an effort to try to address those. So what that all means, I don't know, because it's in, you know, the conversation is happening, and I'm not just being politic. I really don't know how deeply it changes. Yeah.
Let's have one here.
Hi. First, thanks for the talk. But my question would be, since you've seen the success of films like Joker and Joaquin Phoenix's method acting, do you think it requires a certain type of actor or maybe a certain type of role to method act?
When you talk about method acting, I'm always confused. Because I don't know what that is. I think I know what most people are talking about when they talk about method acting. I really don't know. I wasn't trained that way. And when I was a student, and probably since then, I've read Stanislavski. That's one thing. The method is something else. Just for me, I always think of substitution and emotional recall. And that's not something that I particularly respond to. I respond to pretending. like if at your mother's funeral, do you make an anticipation that you're supposed to cry there? And then because you're going to cry, you've got to think of something sad, whether it's your mother or your mother's death or your dead puppy or whatever. That takes you out of the scene. You aren't applying yourself to the real situation. I think for me personally, you pretend. You look there and say, oh, if, you know, you look at the details. You look at the coffin. You imagine. That does it for me much better than taking me out of the scene. Because then that's the difference between really exploring something and having an experience and interpreting something. I think that's just one aspect of the method that I'm familiar with that I don't respond to. And Joaquin's a good actor. He's a great actor. He's not here. He should answer the question for you.
We're going to have one last question. Let's take this one here.
Thank you. Hello. Hi. Thank you. My question is, do you have any projects either on like the personal side or in the working side that you've not done yet, which you'd like to do? Thanks.
I don't initiate projects so much. I'm like a parasite. I glom onto someone else's and try to help them do that. It gets back to that thing about, if there's something that I want to do, it usually completes itself. Particularly when I was younger, there were moments sometimes where I felt like I wasn't having good opportunities. I thought, well, if you don't have good opportunities, you better start making them for yourself. So then I flirted with trying to initiate projects, and it never felt right because usually they completed themselves in my head as I prepared for them. I need something to take, where I want to get away from my agenda. Ultimately, it's my agenda to try to think different things. I sound like a broken record, right? But really, the trick is always to break the habit, feel again, wake up. That's the key. That's really the answer to the acting question. Work on being a human being. Work on waking up. That's what's important. And I can't do that if I'm imagining something that's going to serve my interests. I prefer to look at something outside of me and go towards it and try to learn something. Which, when I say it, sounds kind of noble. It's not. It's totally selfish because it's about saving yourself from a certain kind of control and staleness of habit.
What a fantastic note to end on. Thank you so much, Willem Dafoe. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Intelligence Squared. We'd love to hear your feedback and what you think we should talk about next, who we should have on, and what our future debates should be. Send us an email or a voice note with your thoughts to podcasts@intelligencesquared.com or on Twitter @intelligence2. And if you'd like to hear more, attend some of our excellent events, or peruse over 20 years of our back catalogue featuring some of the world's greatest minds, then head over to intelligencesquared.com.